Flacco. Pressure comes. Gets rid of it. It's picked off. Steven Nelson takes it away, and he's looking to go the other way. Nelson has a convoy down the sideline. Touchdown.
Goal from the three. Direct snap. Pacheco fakes the pitch. Bounces left into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Here's Prescott. Over
the middle. It's going to be picked off, and no one in front of him. Darnell Savage. Touchdown.
Fourth and a long yard. Two for the touchdown. Goff looking to throw. Throws back in the end zone. Laporta! Touchdown Detroit again.
Josh steps up and he's going to get the first down. Oh, and there he goes.
No one's going to get him.
Incredible. Breaks it for the touchdown.
Well inside field goal range. Lofted up. Godwin! Touchdown Tampa Bay. Godwin.
Well, that puts a wrap on the Super Wild Card weekend. Moving on to the divisional round, and save for the Lions-Rams game, it was like we talked about. I was wrong about the Buccaneers-Eagles game. Way wrong. So wrong where to the point where maybe the Eagles are going to go in a different direction with their head coach. But I was right about this, Angel. Save for one game, they were all pretty bad. I mean, the Steelers kind of tried to make it a little better in the second half. It looked like the Bills were just going to roll over them when they were up 21-0 at one point. But Steelers score at the end of the first half. It's 21-7. Okay, you're one score away. And then the Bills, it was just a pair of field goals in the third by both teams, or I guess a field goal each. And then the Eagles-Buccaneers game, whew, it was just bad. You guys were talking about it this morning on Good Morning NoCo. Angel, you said something about Jalen Hurts, and I agree. When you're winning the, like, serious look on his face all the time, and I'm always about business, when you're winning that, that's easier to take. But now that the Eagles have obviously dropped a lot of games, including last night's playoff game, to the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay, you do want to see a little more something. You want to see a little more oomph. You want to see a little more emotion from him. And this isn't all on Jalen Hurts, but he's your leader. He's the face of your franchise. I can't believe it. The Eagles have some major issues to the point where they maybe they fire Sirianni. I think they move on from him, and we have, what, would that be 8 openings for head coach jobs at this stage? And maybe the Cowboys could be 9.
Yeah, it's interesting how the division that we all thought was pretty solid with those two teams are now facing a lot of question marks, both at the coaching position and, you know, for some, the quarterback position. I think Philly fans are confident with Jalen Hurts, but, you know, the offense wasn't as explosive as they were last year. You relied a lot on your tush-push gimmick, and obviously, the injury to A.J. Brown hurt you, but, you know, you still have Devontae Smith. You still have good weapons there. But, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Sirianni is gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a change there and there's a change with the Cowboys, and we could seriously be going into this offseason with 9 openings for head coach right now, which would be just absolutely insane. I don't know what the record is, but it just seems like when you get to the 10 territory, That's a weird year. A really weird year. What I don't like about the Eagles, they drive, and this bothers me about the Broncos too, is you got a lot of these guys going downfield. You saw it in the Bills game. You know, Josh Allen even missed one of his guys. Could have been a touchdown. It was tipped. Thought he was going to have another touchdown to go up big. Ultimately led to the blocked field goal. But you're going downfield. And I know you can't go downfield all the time, but the Eagles try these little lateral passes all the time. Set up these wide receiver screens, and you're not fooling anybody, especially a defense like Tampa Bay. The handful of games that I watched with the Eagles this year, it's unimaginative. They're not going down the field enough to push back a defense a little bit. And I understand it. You can't do that every time, but it's so frustrating watching
the Eagles when they are in this struggle bus right now. And the way they ended the season, and then you just put up that performance against Tampa Bay, there's going to be serious talks about firing a coach. I mean, they lost 5 of their last 6 games getting into the playoffs. That's just not going to – that's terrible territory. You know, it would have been one thing if maybe they were struggling early, but the comebacks are always better. Like, if the Bills would have lost yesterday to the Steelers, I think people would be pretty frustrated. Maybe that's a bad example, but they went on a hell of a run to get in. When you go on a hell of a run to almost not get in, like the Eagles did, and then you stitch that to the playoff loss to a team you're favored against, then I think serious conversations are going to be had there in Philadelphia today.
Yeah, I think momentum is a huge thing going into the playoffs. I think injuries are also a thing. You know, sometimes it's how healthy is your team going into the playoffs. You know, you look at the top teams, Baltimore, San Francisco, Buffalo, even though they had a lot of injuries, but you keep your team healthy, you're going to have a good shot at having momentum going into the playoffs.
Which I suppose is true with every sport. You know, the guys that stay healthy, it's the battle of just keeping your guy, your stud guys out on the floor, out on the field, whatever. There's a lot of that that goes into it. How forgiving is team management, team ownership going to be to all of that? I don't know. It feels like all the Eagles' momentum that they've grabbed over the years was just completely destroyed by Tampa Bay.
It felt a lot, I think, was it Hurts' second season, where it felt like, okay, now he's the starter, and they're improving. Okay, next year they go to the Super Bowl, and then this year it's, can you get back to the Super Bowl? They get knocked out in the first round. Mm-hmm. It just shows you how quickly this league changes and flips on you.
Well, this is why when I look at it, I'm not a big fan of all these firings happening. Is somebody going to come into Miami and get them over the hump for Mike McDaniel? Is somebody going to...
It took them to get McDaniel to get to the playoffs.
Right, and that's... Like, listen, if we're talking 5 years down the road and he's still there and they keep losing in the first round, I get it. But what you just said, it's like any given year, the favorite can get knocked out. A nobody team can pull off an upset, get into the playoffs, and win a first-round game like Tampa Bay. Nobody was really talking about Tampa Bay this season. Really, I mean, until he squeezed into the playoffs, and then it was, oh, all right, they'll probably lose.
Well, you need a lot of things to go your way, and sometimes it's just your year. Like, I think about the Bengals a few years ago. Like, yes, the Bengals are still a good team, but that year that they went to the Super Bowl, they were just incredible. And then the year after, they haven't done much since.
I think there's extremes on both sides of these guys where it's like, okay, we're a regular playoff team, but we're going to blow this guy out because we think he can come in. I think of the San Diego Chargers when they had Marty Schottenheimer as their coach. They were always a good team. They were always winning the AFC West when you have Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson. Well, they kept going. They had like 2 seasons where they went 14-2. They lost in the AFC Championship. So they fire him and they bring in Norv Turner. And then Norv Turner comes in, essentially does the same thing, only fizzles a little faster. He has a really strong first season with the Chargers. And then after that, he was more of a little above 500. So I think there's extremes. When you blow out guys that get you there, get you close every year, I think that's crazy. Because you got to have the right things. You got to have things go your way. The opposite side might be the Steelers, though. I know I love Mike Tomlin, but does Mike Tomlin have a little bit of the George Karl effect going on right now? You are guaranteed to have a winning record and probably squeeze into the playoffs. That's awesome, but you can't get past the first round. That was George Karl, and we got tired of it. And we put up with the George Karl thing, and I say put up very disrespectfully because I'm a big George Karl fan, but it was the same song and dance every year for the Nuggets, save for 1 year. So I get that move because you finally get to a stage, like I said, with Mike McDaniel. If in 5 years he keeps getting to the playoffs and or maybe less than that, then I get it. But we're talking 9 potential openings
The biggest number was in 2021. That was 10.
Wow.
That included the retirements of Sean Payton and Bruce Arians.
So that's the record is 10?
Mm-hmm. Think about a guy like DeMeco Ryans. Great year for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make the playoffs the next 2 years,
he's
gone.
He's out. Because he's already reset. You're better off. It's a wild thing.
It's like we love the rebuilding process of our team, and then, okay, we made the playoffs. Great, we're feeling good. And then we don't have anything next year. It's okay, we got to blow it up again.
You're better off winning 5 games your first year. Let's not go 5. Hackett, well, I guess Hackett won, 4?
Let's say 7.
You're better off below 500, not making the playoffs your first year. Then you're better off the next year. Just give me more than you did last year. And then the next year, you got to make the playoffs. If you make the playoffs as a rookie head coach, your freshness has already been reestablished. You're a playoff coach. Your expectations are now that you better be there again next year. And if you're not, you're on the hot seat the following year.
Oh, I mean, look at what happened with the Chargers and Justin Herbert. You know, great rookie season, get to the playoffs in his second year. Now they miss the playoffs and their coach is gone.
Yeah, and see, like some of these, I get. Like, With Staley, he didn't help himself. He got too cute. He kept going for it. He kept, you know, I go back to the Raiders game, that overtime situation where it seemed like the Raiders were content to go to or to just tie and both go to the playoffs, but the Chargers kept playing, so the Raiders said, screw it, we'll win. You get too cute sometimes, so I get it. Like with Sirianni, I thought, got a little too cocky with his own offense that, hey, we can throw a lot of these lateral passes. We can push till our heart's content. And that our athletes are going to out-athlete everybody else, regardless of who's on the field. And that just didn't work. There are certain guys where you just get a vibe. Like Nathaniel Hackett last year. He's just not good. Couldn't get plays in. Couldn't figure out when to call timeouts. 4th and 5, you got your new shiny quarterback, and instead you go from the 46 left hash. A lot of those weird things happen where you just go, he's not really comfortable making really tough calls with like 20 seconds to do so. But a good chunk of these guys that have just been fired, you go, like Frank Reich with the Panthers. I mean, first up, why'd you hire that guy? What did you think was going to happen? But then you don't even give him a full year with a rookie quarterback. It's insane. That's insane to me.
Well, then whoever they hire, it's, hey, you need to make sure Bryce Young, we didn't waste that number one pick on him.
Yeah, now there's pressure on that. That's and everybody's job is in jeopardy based on this one quarterback. You look at Ron Rivera with Washington. Okay, that's probably time. You was probably ready to you should be moving on at that point.
I mean, you remember how good that defense was a few years ago?
Yeah.
And they just never figured it out on offense.
Never got it going. Never found the right quarterback either.
Nope.
I mean,
since they had Alex Smith and on one leg, basically.
And that's on Ron Rivera, I guess. You know, I mean, GMs are supposed to be these wizards that establish who's coming to the team and what we're going to pay them and all this stuff. Yet it's on the coach if you keep drafting quarterbacks that don't really move the needle. I'm absolutely blown away by how this business. This could be at college, too, at some levels, depending on the level. But it is, and we talked about this last week, it resets. You have a good year? Great. You better follow it up. You made it to the playoffs? Great. You better make it further next year. You made it to the Super Bowl? Excellent. You can't seem to get over the hump and win the final game. We're done. John Fox with the Broncos. That one also kind of made sense at the time, though, because it was like, okay, Manning, you got to
get health issues too, like
John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I know Gary Kubiak did. I don't know if Fox did because he had
a heart surgery or something like mid-season. One of those.
He had something interesting, I think, but he went right on to coach Chicago like shortly after that. Like that, I get. We have to get a Super Bowl out of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's pressure to do that. How do we find that guy? And it worked out. But I'm blown away that we're at 7 right now. The Eagles could be 8, and then Mike McCarthy could be 9. That's when I start like diving into this and say, who deserved really to be gone at this stage? You know, the Raiders, Josh McDaniels, could have told you that. Could have told you. That was bad. The Chargers, that made sense. Staley couldn't get out of his own way. The Panthers, I blame the Panthers more for that, because why would you hire him in the first place? You saw what he did with the Colts, and it just didn't seem to work, and let's bring him in right off the bat. The Falcons, 3 years in a row of no playoffs.
Again, but are they a good enough team to get to the playoffs consistently?
Who was your quarterback? Did he have Matt Ryan in his final
year?
No, he didn't even have Matt Ryan?
No.
I mean, you drafted...
They had like Heineke and Ritter and then some other guy they had this year.
It's about the quarterback, man.
But even then, like, there's not even patience with Atlanta, a team that has talent, and you maybe want to be patient for them to improve, but it's 3 years. All right, you're gone. You didn't even sniff the playoffs.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Let's do this. I'm going to give you the team, and you tell me whether or not you agree with the decision to move on. Carolina?
Yes.
Raiders?
Yes.
Chargers?
Yes.
Falcons? Sounds like you're leaning no.
I would say yes, just because it didn't seem like a good fit.
If it were two seasons and not three,
yeah,
I'd say too soon. Washington with Ron Rivera finished with four wins. Or no, they had four wins in his first year, and then he vastly improved that team. But still.
I wouldn't have fired him, but if he chose to leave on his own, then, you know, props to you. Great career. Hang it up.
Yeah, I just thought.
And Washington, they've been through front office.
They were bad when he got there.
The last 4 years.
They were bad when he got there. He got them a little bit better, and then they were bad when he left. I mean, they won four games, so
yeah.
I get it. Tennessee, Mike Vrabel.
I don't agree with that one.
I don't agree with that one either. Well, Seattle was more of a...
Still weird to me. Is that Pete Carroll's decision, or are they kind of forcing him out?
I think they're forcing him out.
Why?
Let's assume they did. Do you agree with that move then? Obviously not. I don't either.
He's 70 years old, jumping around, dancing in the locker room. He's having a great time.
You went to the playoffs the first year after you lost your franchise quarterback. We can say what we want about Russ, but Seattle made the playoffs on a regular basis, partly because of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think we all expected, okay, they're moving on from Russ. Geno Smith will be the bridge guy for a few years. But then once Pete Carroll's going to get his new guy in there, he's going to go at it again. And they didn't even give him that chance. Whether it's Drew Lock or not, it was going to be somebody.
So we got seven. Those are seven, right? So really, and I tend to agree with you on everything there. Because I'm with you on the variable thing, and I'm with you if Seattle did force Carroll out. Why not just, you know, you made it once with Geno. You didn't make it the next year. Why not give him another year, see if that was fool's gold in the first year? You had a lot of draft picks. Now, again, if it comes out that Carroll kind of wanted it to be done, it doesn't sound like it, though. His press conference certainly didn't.
Not from what I saw in week 17 when Drew Lock won that game. He was in there partying.
If the Eagles fire Sirianni, would you agree with... I know you're not a big Sirianni guy, but would you agree with that move? Take the personal view. Like, he's an annoying dude when they lose. He is. He's annoying. He's cocky. He's whatever.
I think it's tough to say. I used to say that he fit the Philly culture and their fan base, and they're just a weird group. But I think the pressure of going to their Super Bowl in his first year and then not, and then getting knocked out in the first round, it's very dramatic in terms of drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, where do you go from here? Was it all Sirianni that first year, or was it the OC?
That's found the that thing, offense? Right? And you didn't have him this year. So, Mike McCarthy.
I could see that.
They're like Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, although until you get a coach in there that... I mean, Dallas may just be cursed in the playoffs, and they'll never get to go back to the Super Bowl, no matter how many times they say, this is our year, and maybe until Jerry kicks the bucket or something, they can get to it. But I don't know what coach would want to take that job with Jerry Jones sitting over top of you all day.
How much stock do we put in a coach? Like... We know the really bad ones, Nathaniel Hackett, Urban Meyer. We know those guys when we see them. We think we know the really good ones, Bill Belichick, Kyle Shanahan. We think we know.
Yeah, I mean, you put, you know, the good coaches like McVay, LaFleur has really kind of flown under the radar for the most part. He had Rodgers for a long time, and now he's showing it with Love. Dan Campbell's a guy that's really established a culture. Harbaugh's a guy that's been there for a long time. McDermott has a good culture going, even though he had some weird stuff a couple months ago. So guys that can establish a winning, successful culture and a style of football that's just different. Like, you look at Miami, yeah, they're fast, they're flashy, they're exciting to watch, but then you put them up against a Chiefs team that's physical, and they're outmatched.
Yeah. You should put a lot of stock into the coach, but I'm telling you, what did I learn from Wild Card Weekend? The quarterbacks that are going to the next round are all first-round picks, save for Brock Purdy, and I don't see many teams finagling a team like what John Lynch and company did over there in San Francisco, finding a quarterback like that. That actually, they got to get a little bit lucky too, didn't they? I mean, you had to hope and pray that guy worked out.
Number three to get Trey Lance,
correct?
And then you also get Brock Purdy in the seventh.
You fell into that. That was like the Nikola Jokic second round pick on steroids, kind of, because it was a seventh pick,
I believe,
or seventh round pick,
late round.
Anyway, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to talk on this more. We'll hit it more, but we got an interview coming up at 11:35 with Kyle Fredrickson. Let's talk about the Valerie Nichushkin situation, what is happening there. But let's hit the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good for me, I'm not a big fan of this guy, but everybody likes a redemption story. Let's go Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield... I mean, you go from the first overall pick in the draft was that? What year was that? 2018, you're the first pick, first overall. You had your moments with Cleveland, but not enough. Then it looks like you're, and you still may be this guy, but it looks like you're in jeopardy of just being a journeyman quarterback, Carolina, the Rams, all in 1 year. And then they win a playoff game.
Does Cleveland regret that move, not re-signing him?
I don't know, probably, especially because they forced him out to get Deshaun Watson, because you're going to pay him a lot of money.
Man, they stopped doing State Farm commercials in your stadium.
Yeah, and that was that put Cleveland on the map. Although Joe Flacco came in and kind of helped put him back on the map somewhat, but then that fizzled pretty quickly. Let's go bad. I like Mike Tomlin. But this is a logical question that you're being asked at the end of your season. You got smoked by the Bills, and you got 1 year left on your contract. And I didn't like this response.
Anyone?
Mike, you have a year left on your contract.
Out the door. Walked out the door. See you later. Sirianni even answered that question. He was asked the same thing, and he answered it. He was prickly, but he answered it. I didn't like that. That was a move that I... Normally, I like what Mike Tomlin's all about. Although, he can do whatever the hell he wants. All the players in Pittsburgh are like, dude, you get rid of him, we might be done. We might be done here. They love him.
I think that's another guy that's established a true winning culture there in Pittsburgh. Obviously, it's not what it used to be with Big Ben, but they're still in kind of that transition phase. And I think if he wants to walk away, that's up to him. I think he's earned that.
But they got it. You got to ask.
You got to ask, but I don't have to answer.
Yeah, you don't have to walk out, though.
He looked like, okay, that's because it was like, anyone else got a question? It's like, that's the last question. I'm not answering.
We'll do
our end of the year presser in a week and talk about it.
Here's my ugly. Did you see the story over the weekend? The Bulls had their Ring of Fame honor. Former general manager who passed away several years ago, Jerry Krause. Who I think became re-famous, if that's a word, through the Michael Jordan documentary.
Infamous.
Re-famous. How about that? Re-famous. That's a new word. New word. They inducted him into the Ring of Fame. Michael Jordan did not go, by the way. He released a video.
And did Scottie Pippen.
Jordan said he couldn't be there. He wanted to be there, but he couldn't be there. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So they make the announcement. His wife, Thelma Krause, is there in attendance. And I can't watch the video, Angel. I cannot bring myself to watch the video because it's heartbreaking. They announce that he's getting in. They say his name, and the crowd collectively boos the hell out of him, out of his memory, mm-hmm. with his wife in attendance. And she is seen on the video. I did not watch the video. I've seen the pictures. Crying. Just very disturbed.
Brutal stuff.
And I do appreciate the fact that current Bulls, former Bulls, current coaches, former coaches are coming out saying that's just – you got to respect what the man did. Without him, there was no – there was no iconic Chicago Bulls. Now, yeah, he made the decision to ultimately move on from that crew because he thought at the time he saw the writing on the wall and this was the end of that era. He didn't want to do what Golden State is kind of doing now and some of these teams are doing. He thought it was the end. Maybe he miscalculated. Whatever. It's not like a lot of those guys went on to really thrive. But that's how you're going to treat him? He's dead. The man died. Have some respect, Chicago.
Well, it's just interesting because what has Chicago really done since the 90s?
Couple of playoff
spots here
and there.
Whatever relationship he had with Michael and the, you know, going to play baseball and then, okay, we're going to do this last dance thing with Phil Jackson and this is the last ride for all of us. It was a cool relationship. You had your honeymoon phase, you had your cutesy phase, and then towards the end it got ugly.
Yeah, it got ugly.
You had to separate because it was the best for both parties. Michael has obviously gone on to be pretty successful in his life, but the Bulls as an organization really haven't done much outside of Derrick Rose in 2011.
Yeah, it was a sad thing. Like I said, I can't bring myself to watch the video. It's disgusting.
The fans, like, you don't have to like him, but
you can't.
You're not going to put your best GM
in
the Ring of Honor. You're not going to do that.
Right. And he passed away. He's dead. And his wife's there in attendance.
Can't hurt you anymore. Neither was his 80-year-old widow.
Dude, I have some people of my favorite teams that I'm not a fan of, but there's no way in hell they pass away. I mean, I might not clap, but I probably will. Because you got to respect your history. 32 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. Kyle Fredrickson going to join us in a moment to talk Avalanche and this Valerie Nichushkin situation. What's going on with him? We'll get into more details a little bit later on. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's playoff time.
Fakes the handoff, back to pass, fires down the middle. That's caught. Touchdown, Baltimore.
The NFL playoffs are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
All right, the poll question of the day. You can go vote at thewholeshow.com or on my Twitter handle. Who's winning the Super Bowl? Now, Angel, X only allows you to put four options on your poll question. How many teams are in the playoffs? Right?
You could have done a separate poll question with the other four teams.
I left off the Packers. I left off the Buccaneers. I left off the Texans. And what everybody's mad about is I left off the Buffalo Bills.
That's fine.
Everybody, the Bills are the greatest. Oh, watch Josh Allen turn it over 14,000 times against the Chiefs coming up this weekend.
Watch a Bills game without Tony Romo commenting. See how you feel.
Although, this is going to be like heaven for him. Mahomes and Josh Allen?
Yeah, I'm not watching.
It's going to get hot.
I'm not watching.
Might
that.
Start sweating in there, man. 37.
Get him and Collinsworth together and they'll just.
Oh, just don't even have a play-by-play guy. Just have those two guys talk about how great they are. That would be the best. All right, 37 minutes after the hour, I got Kyle Fredrickson of the Gazette coming up next. Let's talk about what's going on with Val. Avs lost last night. That's not really the story, but we'll bring him on the show in just a moment. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 40 minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette, Kyle Fredrickson. Kyle, my man, it's been too long. Always appreciate getting some of your time to talk some Avalanche with you. The Avs lost last night, but that's not really the story. We're talking about Valerie Nichushkin and him entering the NHL, NHLPA assistance program. So wanted to get into that with you, what to make of it, and does this kind of connect to what we witnessed back in the playoffs against the Kraken when he parted ways, when he separated himself from the team for a moment?
Yeah, Brady, it really does feel like a full circle moment to some degree, just because if anything, it does sort of confirm I guess what you might call just a conjecture around Val's absence and what it could mean to his personal and mental health as it relates to substance abuse of some kind. So to get this news, in one sense, yes, it does confirm that, yeah, Val clearly has an issue. Good on him for also being public about it. If, you know, this indeed is sort of the next issue in a line of issues for him, he's getting help and he's being public about that. The one part of his statement that got released through the Avalanche that really resonated with me is the fact that he used the language to address my issues and prevent any negative outcomes once and for all. So that does sort of, in my mind, show that this has been something he's been dealing with for a while. Clearly, to begin the season, it seemed like he had everything together. His play suggested that. But good on him for being a guy who's willing to go out of his way to get the help that he needs. But man, it puts the Avalanche in an even tougher spot, given how top heavy the roster was, even with Nichushkin still playing.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting about this, too, because you go back to the playoffs, and obviously that's playoffs, a different story, but I think a lot of fans were really, really frustrated. I think some tried to be patient and understanding of what's going on. Now it's happening again, and, we're not in the playoffs, but like you said, you're in an interesting stretch here. We always say it in sport, you can't take a night off. It's difficult to do that. So now, you just, the fan side of me is worried about the team. Obviously, though, the human side, you want what's best for this guy.
Yeah, for sure. And it is surprising, I'll say, in the least. I think I don't want to make it sound like we're all just in the media saying, oh, well, we knew this would happen. Val's got issues. He really was in a place where it felt like he was very positive and upbeat, in the very limited interactions that we always got with Val. He maybe talked in the locker room twice all season, just very briefly after a couple of games. But to the same degree, and, getting at least some context from Coach Bednar, he says that Val's been a great teammate, that, a guy like Ivan Prosvetov, a young Russian, the backup goalie, gets added to the team. Val's a guy who kind of takes him under his wing, and those Russian players stick together a lot of times. So it felt like he was doing well, and gosh, he was playing well as well at getting a point, more than a point per game, with 22 goals and 20 assists over 40 games played. He was second in the NHL in power play goals, so he's been posting up in front of the net and getting kind of those greasy ones that Gabe Landeskog used to specialize when he was healthy on this roster. But the Avs are going to have to do something, I think, to make a trade before the deadline to bolster this forward depth, because, Nathan MacKinnon and the way that Mikko Rantanen are playing right now, that can mask you on a lot of nights and not force the rest of the lineup to do a whole lot. But when they're playing, close to 30 minutes a game and it's night after night, the Avs are on a back-to-back, even playing tonight in Ottawa, it's just not a sustainable model for success. So I'm really curious to see if this also forces the Avs to be more aggressive to find that forward help. Maybe this is a week absence for Val. Maybe it's a month. It's really hard to say, especially for a guy who's just so notoriously private.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us. Yeah, private. I remember you doing a long story on him last year, and not many people had that kind of exclusive chat with him. So I thought you did a wonderful job trying to get what little we do know out about him. And then it seemed like, I don't know if shortly is the right term, but not that long after that story, we had the playoff situation and what happened. Kyle, what do you make of the fans? There are two different fans in this. There are the fans that say, no, we need to know more here. I mean, we're fans of this team, and now twice it's put the Avalanche in a really interesting situation. I mean, what you're talking about, the Avs might have to trade players away. They might have to do something to make up for his absence. And then, of course, in the playoffs, then there's the other fan base that's saying, leave him alone, respect him, give him his space. What do you make of those two complete opposite sides of the fan spectrum?
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's sort of what we went through in reporting what happened in Seattle the first time. I would say at this point, this situation feels a little different in that at least the team has said what's happening with Val. Before, it was like so mysterious because they wouldn't even say where he was, what he was doing. You know, at the very least, we have that much information. And for me, as a reporter, you know, I respect his privacy in terms of, you know, the specifics of what happened. You know, this was a situation where Val was on the road again with the team when this news dropped. And I think there's a lot of speculation that could say, hey, did, you know, was there another incident at the hotel or, you know, what went on? But at the same token, for me, that conversation is secondary to, okay, is Val Nichushkin, you know, the big money forward that the Avs thought he was? Is he reliable in the long term to where he's going to fulfill that, you know, 8-year, $49 million contract that they gave him so quickly after their cup win? And, you know, right now he's only in the second year of this deal, and already he's going to miss the, you know, parts of the season for some off-ice issue. So, you know, the Avs are going to ride this out. I don't think that, you know, Val's future is in question. But I do think that the concerns are legitimate about him being a guy who's, you know, worth that, you know, what is it? I guess $6.125 million per year was what he's making on that contract. You know, if you're going to be making top six money, you need to be a top six contributor who's actually out there and doing it. And it's just wild because, you know, this conversation just a week ago was, oh man, you know, Val's an all-star. What a great turnaround. What a great, you know, human interest story for a guy who clearly had some issues, and it seemed like he had it all together. But I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, you might be struggling with something personally that might not really affect your ability to do your job, but that doesn't mean you're out struggling.
Yeah, and that's the really tough part about this story, Kyle, and I think you've done a great job in navigating those waters with this, because at the end of the day, they do get paid a lot of money. They are a big part, especially Val is a big part of what the Avs are trying to do, a part of their past as well. But I don't think you're a terrible human being if you're saying, hey, the Avs organization are paying this guy a lot of money to not be there now. That's going to leave a hole in this roster, and that's going to cost this team something if they want to try to, you know, fill that position for however long. As you said, maybe this could be a week, this could be a month, who knows how long. It does put his teammates, the organization, and the fan base in a really tough spot.
It does. And, you know, I think we're going to get nothing but empathy publicly from, you know, teammates and coaches. But in the back of their mind, it's, all right, let's take a deep sigh and see how we can navigate the stretch without Val. I mean, I think you look in even these last two games the Avs, you know, have been on without him. You know, he missed the Maple Leafs game, and Bednar said at that point it was due to illness. So, you know, read into that however you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But it you know, in each of those games, it was a case where the Avs had to storm back and beat the Maple Leafs. And then, you know, in this previous game, they were in a situation where they were just clawing with the Canadians back and forth. And then they lose the game because they weren't gritty enough at the net front. You know, Sam Girard isn't able to get a puck that's right between his legs and an open Canadiens forward snatches it, and they win the game with, you know, just a couple minutes left. So that's where they're going to miss Val. You know, they need someone who's going to be willing to be kind of greasy in the crease and make guys, you know, score by getting deflections or being a guy who's willing to win puck battles no matter where he's at on the ice. And they just don't really have that without him. You know, if Landeskog is on this roster, if Lehkonen is healthy, and if this is the only guy missing, you think, okay, the Avs are doing okay, but they're already kind of on that razor thin line where I'm not convinced they're a real cup contender with the lineup that they have out there every night.
Yeah, and an interesting schedule coming up for the Avs. Back to back, they got Ottawa tonight, but then Thursday at Boston, Saturday at Philadelphia, a brief home trip or a home stand against Washington and LA, and then it's back out on the road for what, five or six games. So it's not going to get easy. This is a very critical time for the Colorado Avalanche.
It is. And, you know, for all my belly aching here, you know, they're still right in the mix to win the division. The Jets have really been a surprise story of the NHL this year with how well they've played. But, you know, as long as the Avs can feel like they coast into the playoffs and they're either a top seed or they win their division, they just need to feel good by the time the playoffs come around, and we'll see how healthy they are. But to get through that stretch, and you mentioned that, you know, upcoming road swing, that's the Rangers, the Devils, the Hurricanes, the Panthers. Those are all playoff teams. So the Avs are going to really have to prove it, you know, away from Ball Arena, where they've been really good at home. But on the road, they've, you know, lost some leads and just haven't been as sharp.
No, no doubt. You're spot on as always, Kyle. We'll be following you, whether that's Twitter or at the Denver Gazette, for your extensive coverage on all things Avalanche. And we'll see if anything pops up about Val in the next couple of days. Always appreciate you, my man.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Kyle Fredrickson. Follow him on Twitter at Kyle Fredrickson. Or, you know what, check out the Denver Gazette. He does a great job. You know, I need to get Kyle on a regular basis because he's in depth. He's not going to put too much emotion, like, in a good way. He doesn't get too caught up in being some kind of a fanboy reporter. He's not that guy at all. He'll tell you like it is, so I appreciate him. Weird story happening with Val. No doubt about it. You're human. You can't help but connect the Seattle Kraken playoff series and this, and then also go, okay, yeah, we respect him. We hope he's okay. We got to treat this kind of stuff seriously, but at the same time, you're on the team. You got a job. We all got jobs to do. Was that Michonne? Somebody. Maggie. Walking Dead. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Bet you didn't think I was dropping that today. We'll be right back.
Home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Who's winning the Super Bowl, Angel? Are you coming over to the dark side? You coming over to my side to really pull for the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment? And I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson. Are you in? You coming on this journey with me?
No.
Who you got?
San Francisco. No.
Is that your Super Bowl? Is it San Francisco, Baltimore?
I don't know. AFC is irrelevant.
You got it. You got it.
San Francisco's winning it.
Close your
eyes.
As much
as you are, it doesn't matter who plays Baltimore. It doesn't matter who plays San Francisco.
Doesn't matter who plays Baltimore.
Picked them to win the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter who they play.
That's true. Although I picked Dallas to go to the Super Bowl.
I could have warned you against that. I warned you against the Packers, too.
That the Packers are legitimate?
That the Packers were going to win that game.
What was your record? What'd you do?
I didn't keep track of it.
We got to go back to the archives.
Well,
I think we're all 500. I went 3-3, got robbed. Detroit should have covered. Tanner went 3-3. My goal is to beat Tanner. I mean, isn't that everybody's goal?
Isn't that everyone's goal?
Isn't that everybody's goal? I think his cows have that goal. All right, we got top story of the day coming up. I got Mike Brohard joining us. CSU's back in action tonight. It seems like they haven't played since 1937. They play UNLV at home. Big game for them. More on the Val situation, all that. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We will be right back.